The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Aggression is one of the last dirty words in our culture. You can be crass, you can be rude, you can even be profane, but aggressive, don't be aggressive, except it's wrong, dead wrong. I promise you, nothing of meaning and transcendence will come into your life passively. It's time for you to get into the arena, to push back against a passive, mediocre existence. I'm Brian Tome, and this is The Aggressive Life. You know what I'm tired of hearing? I'm just not a disciplined person. I'm tired of hearing it. Actually, it normally goes more like this. I'm just not a disciplined person. When I hear that, what the person's basically inferring is, if you mapped out my genome, I don't have the discipline gene. I just don't have the capacity to do things that are good for my future. I tell you what, if they find out that you don't have the discipline gene, they're also going to find out you don't have the aggressive gene. There is no discipline gene and there is no aggressive gene. There's nothing in your DNA that's going to make you want a better life. There's nothing in your DNA that's going to make you unsatisfied with status quo. There's nothing in your biology that's going to get you off your rumpus and get moving in another direction. The way we get discipline is by doing small things, and we feel the win from those small things, so we want to do it again. And then we want a bigger win, so we build on that thing. Discipline comes through small little victories every day, every week, every month, every year. A person gets in shape physically because they have a small win of, I'm not going to have cheese curls tonight. And you go that night, you go, hey, I did it. You know what I do? You know what I do tomorrow? Tomorrow, I'm going to walk a quarter of a mile. And you walk a quarter of a mile. Oh my gosh, I did that. I'm just going to walk a quarter of a mile for like a whole week straight. And you walk a quarter of a mile a whole week straight. And you go, well, that's not that bad. You know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna have not cheese curls tonight. I'm gonna walk a quarter of a mile, and I'm gonna do 5 push-ups in the morning. First thing in the morning, I'm gonna do 5 push. And that's how discipline works. You build confidence and you build your reps, and things go forward. Friends, let me tell you something. If you want your life to go forward, you have to shake off the stupid things that we believe, like aggression is wrong. It's not wrong. Taking advantage of somebody physically or financially is wrong. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about grabbing your life by the throat. We're talking about taking responsibility for you. We're talking about erring on the side of doing instead of erring on the side of assuming. If you want your life to go forward, you're going to have to attain a mastery over your motives. You're going to have to want more for your life. Rocky Boyman had a dream that started in second grade. He decided he wanted to play football for Notre Dame, and he did. Following college, he was drafted into the NFL by the Tennessee Titans. He won Super Bowl 41 as a member of the Indianapolis Colts. And after retiring, he has returned to his hometown of Cincinnati. He currently works as a weekday radio host and also a football analyst for ESPN, among other networks. He is married, has 2 kids, has a lot to say on the importance of masculinity and not living a life of leisure and being aggressive. Rocky Boyman, welcome to The Aggressive Life.
If there's a podcast that centers on being aggressive, I want to be a part of it, so I'm happy to be here.
So you count yourself as an aggressive man. Why? What's your credentials? I just gave your football credentials. Doesn't mean you're aggressive.
I mean, does anybody get anywhere in life without being aggressive? I mean, think about all the people that you look up to that have accomplished, the CEOs, the athletes, the whatever. Have any of those folks ever, if you think about them, boy, they were led a really kind of just passive, didn't really upset anybody, didn't really, not really a go-getter. No, everybody, all those folks that are the tops of the folks you talk about are the ones that went and grabbed life by the you-know-what.
Totally right. Chop, chop. Now, I wish this was a video program instead of a podcast, because you look the part from what I just read. Like, if you said, who would possibly want to go to Notre Dame? Somebody who has a full red head of hair, that's who.
If it did, if my football career there didn't work out, it could have been a 6'4" leprechaun there. So there you go.
And what was the dream for Notre Dame? Why was that a big deal at second grade? Something happened in second grade?
Not really. It was just, you know, I grew up, my family was Notre Dame fans. And so just watching the games with my dad all growing up and going out in the backyard and throwing with them and talking about the 88 championship team and Tony Rice and, you know, Michael Stonebreaker, who was a great linebacker, all these guys I looked up to when I was a kid. And I, by that time, I'd started playing football and loved it.
That's a real name, Michael Stonebreaker?
Michael Stonebreaker. That was his... Look it up. Look him up. He's the best.
All right.
But yeah, so I started playing football, loved it, and was pretty good at it even at a young age. And yeah, in second grade, you kind of go around and what do you want to be when you grow? I want to be a fireman. I want to be a preacher. I want to be a policeman. And I told my second grade teacher, Mrs. Smith, that I wanted to go to the University of Notre Dame. I wanted to play football and I want to be a captain. And having that in my mind, I'm a big visualization guy. And I, of course, didn't realize that back then, but that was something I always had in my head that I wanted to accomplish and wanted to be there. And life kind of worked out and I wound up going there.
Were you a captain at Notre Dame?
I was.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Second grade, you had that vision, mm-hmm. and you said that. That's yeah. crazy.
Yeah.
So if you had that as a vision in second grade, what are some things you did from second grade to when you graduated high school to make that dream a reality?
Work and sacrifice. You know, I was very, and my dad and mom were very involved with me athletically. You know, my dad was working with me, and it was never like forcing me to do anything, but he knew I liked sports and I was good at them. And so it was, hey, let's go out in the backyard and throw, let's toss, let's run, you know, all those sort of things. Again, was not a him making me do it kind of thing.
You're bonding with him. It was a male bonding
100%.
Thing.
100%. And that's where he was a great athlete. He went to LaSalle High School, had a bunch of running back records there. But so I think that's what kind of, you know, spurned that. There was that connection, that bond between he and I. And I just, you know, and there was times, there's things you have to give up. You know, you give up maybe going to summer camp or you do that. But, you know, I wanted to be around. I wanted to play sports. I played sports all year round and I worked at them hard. And, you know, my dad's a blue collar guy. You know, my whole family's blue collar guys. So I'd see him, see the example of him working hard every day, right? And, you know, again, even as he was a road maintenance worker, like, you know, laid blacktop, worked on, you know, catch basins, you know, roads, all that sort of stuff. Come home dead tired, but he always would, and he would do stuff around the house. On the weekends, he'd have side projects where he earned some money. So he was able to create a great life for us, despite being, you know, no college education, no, certainly no legacy, no, nothing like that. You know, his parents didn't give him any money. It was just sheer hard work. I mean, he got laid off when I was young, and, you know, and he didn't sit around and cry about it and do all that. One day he woke up, he laid brick. Next day he'd sweep basements. Next day he'd do some electric work until he finally got back up and got the job. So that was at that impressionable age. That's what I saw.
Wow.
As my example. Wow. So that ingrained in me, again, that the hard work that helped me to get to where I am. But also, again, just the intolerance to be around people that don't look at it that way and it chase things that way.
So you didn't get born then with the discipline gene, because science has told us that some people have the discipline gene and everything is easy for them.
Yeah.
This is probably why many of us, we have dreams and visions, and that's all they stay is dreams and visions. Mm-hmm. There's a huge gap between thinking about something and doing about something.
Right.
And it sounds like your dad was your discipline gene just from the standpoint of he modeled it.
He was. He was my discipline gene. He was my hard work gene. But he was also my dream gene. Mm-hmm. Again, because he was a humble beginnings kind of guy, didn't grow up with a ton of money, didn't, again, no college education, was a blue collar, literally worked with his hands, but we would have a camp down in Lake Cumberland. Why? Because he literally built a house by himself, like from the ground up. I watched my dad build a house in his garage in Cincinnati, hauled it down, all the pieces, all the, you know, all that sort of stuff, put it up down there, you know, so we always had that. He would always have like a sports car. Why? Because he would work on weekends and do extra things because he liked cars and he liked tinkering in the garage. So
he had a high motor. He had a high drive.
High drive, high motor.
Is he still alive right now?
Absolutely is.
Man.
Yeah, he's great.
There's a power with a powerful dad, isn't there?
Of all the things I'm blessed with, and I'm very blessed, I mean, having a dad that was A, around, and B, was, I mean, really, I mean, just took to me and my upbringing and teaching is the greatest blessing I could have. I mean, I talk about on my radio show, I often say, most of our problems we have in the world, you could trace it back to like bad parenting or lack of parenting, right? Mm-hmm. Lack of dad being in the household. Yes. I think it's so important for dads, especially. We need our moms. Moms are the rock. They do everything, but you got to have a dad that's there to, you know, my dad provide the discipline, no BS kind of guy, right? Yeah. And I'm very blessed and fortunate to have had that.
A great dad is the most aggressive and potent force in life of a child. And unfortunately, most of the father figures we see in media are these aggressive forces of impotence, or they're physically aggressive, they're bad father figures. We just don't see great dads. And so maybe we're not learning how to be a great dad. How for you? Do you have any convictions you have about how you're going to raise your boys aggressively?
I just think it's being a part of their life and playing with them. I think that's important. So my son's five. My other son's one. So he's not quite there yet, but we play a little bit. My five-year-old.
Wrestling with him?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Got to get him down on the ground and wrestle him a little bit. But just being making sure you're making a conscious effort, because, I mean, everybody is busy, right? You're doing a lot of things, and you work all day, and you come home, and you know, the kind of the natural thing to want to do is kind of kick back, watch some TV. But no, he's sitting there like, hey, dad, let's play this. Let's go, you know, ride bikes. Let's go, you know, toss baseball, that sort of thing. So it's, you know, it's in your head going, instead of going, oh, it's going, yeah, this is what I got to do. This is the thing that'll, you know, pay off down the line.
So one of the things that's impressive about you, Rocky, is a lot of guys I've seen who have had success in sports, specifically guys I saw in high school who were the best athletes, tend to not come to high school reunions because they went on pure DNA in high school and they never learned how to discipline themselves and build a life after that, right?
Right.
I've also known guys who were great in the pros who the organization came around them and disciplined them. This is when you got to work out. Mm-hmm. This is what you have to do that. And then when that goes, they gain weight and they just flounder in life. They're just not sure where to go.
No structure.
You're one of these dudes who's you've made a number of transitions. You obviously transitioned from high school star to college star to NFL to now another life that is not athletics focused. You're like in the 1%. Do you feel that way?
I mean, I don't know about that, but I do know that it is hard, especially from the, you know, for transitioning from pro athletes. And I remember, I mean, I retired from the NFL at age 30. And even me with, you know, I had a degree from Notre Dame. I had solid parental structure. I had, you know, I came back home. So I knew people kind of thing. It's still a scary thing. It's scary because, you know, you spend your whole life doing it. Again, when I started playing football, when I was 7 years old, played all the way up to age 30. And, you know, I had other interests and pursued things, but to some degree, you have to, if you want to really chase that dream, you have to have some element of blinders on where you got to go for it. I mean, you can't have all these other lines in the water, right? You can, you know, you study, and I did well at school and did all that, but you got to really pursue that dream. So now it's there and in a career that is arguably one of the top feelings I think any person could get, going out on a football field and having 70,000 people cheer you, knowing there's another couple million at home watching, So you do that. That is a high of all highs, right? Mm. So now you're sitting there at age 30 and you're like, how am I ever going to get a feeling anywhere close to that? It's very discouraging. And I think that is what happens to a lot of guys is they have some interest, and of course they're driven, accomplished people. But I think people continue to get discouraged for two reasons. Number one, they keep looking backwards instead of forwards. They keep talking about, oh man, when I played this and I played that, I never did that. And also, it's getting discouraged because they realize, or at least in their mind, think there's no way I'll ever reach a high of that magnitude ever again. And by the way, I got another 60, 50 years of life left. That's discouraging.
That is discouraging. Well, you just mentioned one of the things that kills aggression. It is reminiscing. Mm, yeah. You know, you can't spend your time in the rearview mirror if you're going forward. Think about your car. We're sitting there, and what's the rearview mirror? It's this little square thing, mm-hmm. but the whole windshield is ahead of you to look forward. And people who have time to look at their high school yearbooks and to reminisce about yada yada yada, look at the year. That's the small stuff that's not going to get us forward. And you put your finger on something I hadn't thought that much about before. You're right, man. The more we think about how great we were or how fun things used to be, the less we go forward.
That's exactly right. I mean, Brian, I see, you know, guys I played with on Facebook, for instance, and their profile picture is still them in a football uniform, or seemingly every week they're posting some picture about something when they played. And it's like, this is like 10, 15 years ago. I never did that. And I don't know exactly where that came from. I almost made a conscious effort. When I got done, I wasn't going to be the guy that always talked about my playing days and always talked about this and that. I was going to go forward. And I think that really, really helped me to kind of get past that and move. I like talking about this, but I don't really go there that much in terms of, boy, man, wasn't that great? You know, maybe once a year you see some of your buddies you played with. But other than that, no, it's all about now.
Okay, so you mentioned one thing in transition. You mentioned you got to have a vision for the future. Don't look behind. What else? When an aggressive woman or aggressive man wants to make a transition, what are some other disciplines or some mindsets that you had that have enabled you to do that?
I think you got to become a master of your craft, and that means putting work in. And that comes back to my dad, what he taught me. That's one of the things he said. You got to know the ins and outs. You got to become a master of what you're doing, and there's one way to do that, and that's to put in the work. So let's take broadcasting, for instance, which I'm involved in now. And by the way, it's taken like 8 years to kind of get to where I am, where I have a, you know, drive time show and plus an ESPN analyst kind of thing. But I just made the decision to totally immerse myself in that, you know, say again, eight or so years ago, and just totally get involved in it, read, talk to people, just do whatever you possibly can to master that craft. And then once you have the knowledge, then you have the power to really, you know, instead of worrying about, you know, what suit do I need to put on, all that. Get down there and watch some tape. You know, get down there and read something. Talk to a coach or on my radio show. Talk to a public official about what's going on. Talk to a doctor about why the opioid epidemic is so. Talk to a police officer of why we can't solve this or that. So that's the kind of thing. I think the next part of that is while you're not looking, use the time you're not looking in the rearview mirror to really just bear down and study and whatever that passion is, to work and grind it.
Yeah. It's got to be tough, though, to be the newbie, right? Because you've been blessed with some good genetics and blessed some great discipline from 7 to 30. It's not just 7 to 30 you've been an athlete, but from 7 to 30 you've been a top dog, right? Mm. And now you're not. So how do you deal with that as a humility standpoint? I think that's why a lot of us don't try new things. Mm-hmm. We don't pick up new hobbies. We don't try new careers. We don't do new things because we're not humble enough to be a greenhorn.
Right.
We're gonna feel stupid. How'd you deal with that?
I think one thing is as great as like my NFL career was and playing career, well, you know, college, pro, and all that. You know, it's a career, 8 years, Super Bowl, some individual accolades. As good as that was, I mean, and that's a career that 99% of kids today would sign up for right now. Yeah, give me that. In my mind, I look at of all the things that I fell short on and the things that I'm unfulfilled or I didn't. I wanted to play in a damn Pro Bowl, and I never did get to. You know, I was close 1 year, and you know, all these sort of things. I see the places where I fell short, but I finally realized not long ago that was a complete blessing, man. Because had I went to like 3 Pro Bowls and I did all this, I don't know if I'd be as motivated in the second or third chapter of my life to really make it, man. I mean, I'm on a mission, great. You know, whether it's broadcasting or other things I'm interested in. I feel like I didn't do it, man. I didn't get to exactly where I wanted.
I feel your face right now. It still bothers you. It's grimacing. The redhead is grimacing here in the studio. Dude, would you like a Kleenex?
No, I'm fine. As long as I start throwing things here, right? But no, that's part of it is I didn't get everything I wanted or accomplish all those things I wanted. There were setbacks and things that were out of my control, maybe some things that were in my control, but that's, again, as I said, a blessing, because had I not had those, I'd be like, man, okay, this was great, and you'd be looking in that rearview mirror instead of forward.
Right. Disappointment can dive us or it can drive us. It can dive us to the depths or it can drive us. And I love your attitude. You know, the book of Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7 says, as a man or woman thinketh, so is he. Mm-hmm. As a man, so if you think you can't do something, you're probably not going to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you have a disappointment that you didn't reach a goal and you think you're never going to reach another goal, you're probably never going to reach another goal. But if you reach that goal and you think to yourself, I just learned that I don't like it when I don't reach a goal. So I'm going to work hard next time so I do reach that goal.
Yeah.
As a man thinketh, so is he.
It's pretty simple when you break it down like that, but I think it's hard. I don't know if it's people's egos. I don't know if it's just, I don't know what it is, but that mindset has worked.
Well, whenever I meet a linebacker, I think that there's maybe something that draws you to the position that helps you with this in life. I played a little linebacker in high school, very little. I was brought in on passing situations.
You had good size, by the way. I could see the,
Thank you very much. I was just brought in on passing situations. My main was center. I played center. The reason why I wasn't better at linebacker was, looking back on it, I didn't realize at the time, but looking back on it, as I replay plays in my mind and stuff, I didn't make decisions quickly enough initially. I never could get down exactly what my read was. Like, am I looking at the guard? Is he going to go to my right or my left? Am I going to fight him opposite? Or which back am I keying up? I would get bogged down. And now when I was good in passes, because I know a pass, and I can get my position and I can read the field. But it's that decision-making, that snap decision-making. Would you agree that's a key thing for linebackers?
100%. And that's a key trait for anything, right? Anything in life is, I mean, look, let's take a, linebacker. To play a linebacker, you got to have good vision, right? You got to be able, kind of like you just described, you got to be able to see things. How do you have good vision? You open your vision. You don't look at just the guard or the center. As I got going, especially my NFL career, I learned to expand my view to the whole line from tackle to tackle and see everything. Is this guy setting back further than that guy? Is this guy pulling that? Open your vision up. That's number one, you know, both literally and figuratively. And then from there, you got to trust your eyes, right? Often we see it and we know it, but we're kind of hesitant because, like, am I really seeing that play? Am I really seeing that guard pull? Or am I really seeing this sign in life? And you hesitate, and by then it's gone. I mean, in the NFL, obviously, if you hesitate and you don't trust your eyes, you're done. And a lot of times, and same thing in life, when major life decisions come up, whatever occupation you are, if you don't have your vision and you believe what you see and what you know in your heart is true, you hesitate, and that opportunity may be gone.
Amen. So you're on the Board of Life Learning Center. What is that? What's going on with it?
So Life Learning Center, so across the river in Covington, Kentucky, and it's a place where we offer second chances to people. Now, what does that mean? It means, many people, I'm sure all of us at some point have needed a second chance in life to some degree. We've screwed up. We've been given an opportunity that we squandered, whatever it is. This is a place where you can come back and get that. And largely what we're dealing with is people that have been incarcerated, people dealing with the effects of drugs, that sort of thing, that have just been constantly in this downward spiral of crap, right?
Yes.
Basically, I often compare it to, like, you know, you go to these, like, college football complexes, right? Like Clemson, Ohio State, and it's always multi-million dollar this, and they got, you know, the training table is amazing, and they got the, you know, the outdoor basketball courts, like, all these amazing. What's the reason for all that? The reason why these coaches and these programs do that is to remove any excuse you have to not be the best football player you can. So to compare that, Life Learning Center, we offer kind of the similar thing. We serve breakfast and lunch, okay? So that's covered. You know, you got kids, boom, we got a five-star daycare service. Mm. If you need help, a counselor on drugs or alcohol, boom, we got that for you. You need help on how to get your license, boom, we got someone that can help you with that. Anything you need, just ask for it. All we ask in return is you're A, respectful, and B, you come in here with a mindset you're going to try your best to become the best person you possibly can be. So there's a 12-week curriculum. It focuses on, you know, finding your purpose in life and getting negative influences out of your life, and combined with all those sort of things. And I mean, I think it's pretty intense. I've never seen or been a part of anything like it. And I'm just excited. I'm on the board. I do a physical education half hour class every Thursday. My thing is like with working out is you accomplish one thing early in the morning and then you go on the next thing. So we get in there, camaraderie. There's camaraderie and group suffering, right? Yeah, like, right. Oh, this sucks. But that's kind of what brings everyone together. So I'm happy to be a part of that. And I think just there's a lot of things that can solve. You know, the criminal justice system is overrun. There's so much money that's wasted. There's so many people that are in prison but again, a lot of it's just people that need a second chance. Now, we're not talking violent offenders, sex offenders, all that. We're talking just people that mostly have been caught up in drugs and made some bad decisions. Come here and we'll help you get your life back going.
That is a great vision for that organization. And I'm drawn again by how you can't get away from the ways that God has formed you earlier in your life. Like, you keep coming to a football illustration. Like, I never thought about that before with all the expensive facilities at all the colleges. Says,
why do we need, no, why make, kids need this? Well, it's because you can
removing distractions.
Everything.
You're removing that so they become the best version of that. I never thought about that. And that you've learned from previous things in life and applying them to where you are right now. And I think all of our listeners are going to do that. All of us can say, what are the life experiences I've had where God has put me specific places? I've seen specific things. And that's going to be my template for how I aggressively have success in the future. Correct. That's a great insight, Rocky.
Create a place where there's no excuse for failure but yourself.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, Rocky, how can people connect with you if they want to still hear about you, follow you, or be in the know of your life?
Yeah. So social media, of course, is at Rocky Boyman 50. At Rocky Boyman 1 through 49 was already, I'm just kidding. That was my football number. So it's at Rocky Boyman 50, at Rocky Boyman ESPN on Instagram, but then also Monday through Friday on 700 WLW 3 to 6, the Eddie and Rocky show. And then you can catch me doing some college football games here this fall.
Rocky, it's been great having you today. I've learned a lot, and I think we're all the better for it. Hey, let's get aggressive, Rocky.
Come on.
Let's not say our day ends right here. We're just the beginning of the day. This has been it, The Aggressive Life. We'll see you next time. Hey, thanks for listening. If this episode has impacted you, hey, share it with somebody else. All of us have influence. People that can look to us for direction, use your influence positively, aggressively. And if this has meant something to you, then pass along to those that you're leading. You can see more at briantome.com or search me on Instagram. Special thanks to the band Judges for our music. You can find more from them on Instagram at thebandjudges or at facebook.com/thebandjudges. The Aggressive Life with Brian Tome is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer.
Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.